Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 71.
That's it.
Why do I sound like a centurion? We're moving up there, Don. Wow.
I know. It's a lot of episodes. It's a lot.
Let me do the pronunciation. Centenarian. Remember I was trying to tell your husband that?
Yes, I remember.
Happy half centenarian. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, right, you got centenarian. Right. Crazy.
Well, we are here. We want to thank our listeners. Of course, we are podcasting Zoom once again. Text your questions and comments to via Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, YouTube, what have you. And of course, 954-388-8780. Mm-hmm. And guess who we have today?
I know. We haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah, she's from the archives too.
She's another one, right?
Yeah, another one from the archives. We had to go through the letters. Holy Jen, yes. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Good. Right. You are the multifaceted one. I'm telling you that, boy. You are all over.
Yeah.
So blessings to you on that.
Thank you.
We start out with a word of prayer before we proceed.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you once again for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all that you have provided for us, Lord. Although we're not worthy, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Continue to bless this podcast and all the intricates that come along with this programming. We thank you for myself as the host and our great co-host and all our guests that we talk to, that we continue to push the word forth, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us in a mighty, mighty way. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Pastor Jen, our current event today, schools have opened. I know your kids are going back to school. One is still waiting to go back to school. How has that transition online been for you? And also for our listeners, how can you give them a little bit of encouragement during this time of this weird kind of session of school?
Well, thank the good Lord that we had a little practice when COVID still started, you know, that rush to get online and having to go through all that learning process on how to be online for school. Actually, I thought I would be prepared, but I wasn't, you know, and having them all online again. So this is what it looks like from my vantage point. All three that are in middle school and elementary, they're all at one table. And they're all, you can hear everything. You know, you can hear their teachers, all three of their teachers teaching them.
Wow.
Their classmates talking and them talking back to class. And I thought I could handle it until one time I was in a meeting and someone asked me, "Are you in Starbucks?" And I said, "No." And they're like, "Are you anywhere like in a cafe?" I'm like, "No." They're like, "Cause we hear like restaurant chatter." I'm like, "Oh, those are my children going by headsets. One second, you know?" And so I really did. And it lessened the noise level, because now I could just hear them, you know, talking back. But, you know, at the same time, so now there are two of mine who, one is starting tomorrow and the other has already left. So how do I feel about schools opening back up? I reiterate, I thank God that we learned a little bit on how to do it. Now the schools are a little more streamlined. I do not feel comfortable at all with kids going in to the classroom at the moment.
Wow.
And I guess for me, it's not the fact that I don't believe that, you know, they'll be protected, but it's at the same time, you just don't know who kids are coming into contact with. And you know, you all know that my husband is immunocompromised. So one person gets sick and none of us, if any of us are asymptomatic and we don't know who's sick and then he gets it, you know, and that's a hard thing. But I'm thankful that my younger three and now David, who's starting high school, he's going online. So I'm thankful for that. But on the other hand,
yeah, no chance.
My college boy who's going up and he's not, you know, online, it's all in person. I had a little issue with that within myself, but this school showed me all the guidelines that they were following, all the new, I guess, highly expensive, high-grade filter systems that they've installed in all the buildings. Mm. And after many lectures, you know, of telling, reminding him social distancing, yeah, please be safe, because yeah, if you catch it, I can come up to see you, but I can't see you. You know, I'm
exactly
outside the building. Encouraging you, but you know, that's what it is. And I think, you know, we all say we're waiting to return to normal, but in all honesty,
I don't think it ever will.
I don't think it will, because COVID will be that one disease that they're still trying to, even if the vaccine comes out, they're still going to be working on how to fine-tune it, you know? Yeah. So this is our normal of walking around in masks and social distancing. And so I feel a way in the sense that I'm so glad that my children are with me. Most of my children are with me. My prayers every day are out there with my son. And I feel for the parents who have to all be both at work. You know, I am thankful that I can be here.
Right.
And so I guess my advice would be, take each day as it comes. Do not try to be perfect. Do not try to compare yourself as I have to work and I can't support my children in this, and you're lucky that you get to stay home, or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, we have to do what we have to do to survive. And I know that God will, He will provide for us as He has provided for us, and He will provide the protection that we need. We just have to keep on trudging through, because we can't ignore the virus.
Because no, we can't even see it anyway.
Can't even see it, you know?
Exactly. Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you.
All right, then. Appreciate the current event on that one. Mm. Well, okay, your sermon, Breaking Point.
Breaking Point, like the movie.
Yeah, yes. I remember that movie. I
thought it was going to be like, is she doing the movie?
Yeah. Start her way. All right, let's go back. You're starting off at Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And we're having Jesus, he's going through, my goodness, so many things. Multitasking, left and right, healing. He's coming, to the city of Galilee, right? To the Galileans?
I say Capernaum. Yep.
Yeah, I think it was the city of Galileans, yeah. And the episode preceding that was the healing of the demoniac, right?
Yes.
Okay, and now the apostles, they freaking out because the waters and the waves of the boat going, and he's up there trying to get a little snooze. and then now he calms that. And now he's on the crowd and he's about to, he's on movie star status, as I would say it. And and now here he comes with a multitude of well wishers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I like about your story, is because you have two stories in one, but it all is the same and it happens in sequence. It's just wonderful how the Holy Spirit works. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Now, what I want to get right is when you talk about this woman. Let's focus on her right quick. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that she was that wealthy for this woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. Mm. How? Go ahead.
The Bible doesn't say that outright that she's wealthy, but because it mentions that she had already been through many physicians, mm-hmm, it is assumed that she has had the money to pay out, mm-hmm, for 12 years for her care. Mm-hmm. And finally, everything's gone. All her funds are gone.
Right.
So it's an assumption that I made that, you know, a lot of people just kind of live with it. But if she's been paying out to top doctors to find out for 12 years, then she has had to have some kind of wealth.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking that, you know, I mean, this woman is the originator of COVID. I mean, because you're talking about socially distancing herself from the...
Not true. Really?
Sorry. Oh, that was awesome. Yes.
I had to put that in there.
He's pertaining it to modern times.
Right. Look at that.
Good to pass up. But I'm just saying, just think about how this woman had to deal with this mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cloaking herself and going here and nobody can touch you, and no family members. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's just horrible. Yeah, you know, I no harm on that. You know, I want to retrace the Bible, but I just wanted to say that part because look what she went through.
Mm-hmm.
Look what she went through to go through this. I mean, the desperation was there, big time. And then the amount of people that didn't want to help her because she was, you know, ostracized in the public. And she was considered a leper. So I'm like, wait a minute here. You know, it's just like if someone come to plantation and they come in and they have sores on their bodies, we're not quick to hug that person.
That's true.
Yeah. We're like, okay, what are our plans to get this guy out of here? And then we're like, wait a minute, but we're in church.
Yeah. Where do they sit? And can we put them in a certain spot?
So, this woman is having some issues, man, you know? And I'm like, wow. But, okay, so let me get the scenario. Now, Jesus was summoned by the people, the apostles, that Jairus was waiting on him.
No. Jairus was already there at the shoreline waiting on him. So basically, in Mark, it talks that the boat was coming in, and mm-hmm. right as he steps off, Jairus is right there. So imagine, like, you're trying to see someone, and you're just along with this crowd, but you're at, what I see is, because of Jairus's
position.
Because of his position, he's at the front. He's allowed to be at the front. Mm-hmm. And he's just pacing. He's just like, where is this boat? Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm in line. And he's just waiting for it. And it says, you know, it says in the Bible that he met Jesus on the shoreline in Mark. He met Jesus on the shoreline.
Right.
So
that's what
I imagine.
Okay, I was just trying to get the scenarios on that one. Because right now, you know, but Jesus already knew. He knew what was going on. And then all of a sudden, this woman comes up in the scenario of all this in a multitude of people. Mm-hmm. To know that he said to the apostles, someone touch me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful note. Not only that he knew, but the way you put it in the sermon yesterday, it had been relational because of how this woman came about to get into the crowd, to mingle in the crowd, to find him. That had to be a lot. I'm sure people pushed her out the way, whatever the case may be, like, who are you, whatever, to do that. And that was powerful. Now, I want to get into this bit about the hem of the garment. Mm. I know you was mentioning that if you didn't pronounce it right, Pastor Mike was going to get you.
He still hasn't called me, so
he hasn't called you, so maybe he must have done
maybe
it right.
Good.
Don, could you read to her what I sent you about the canaf? The canaf?
Is it canaf?
Yeah.
Canaf.
We're looking it up.
It says, although the word canaf most commonly meant wing or extremity, it could also denote the corner or edge of something. In Isaiah 11:12, he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Canaf. Yeah, very.
So I'm thinking that what was God's... Or Jesus would have said,
what was his hemline like? Wasn't he just
like, what was it like?
A regular one, as opposed to all the other priests had their fancy ones to denote their seniority, I suppose. Is that the way it was?
That's what I wonder, because, you know, in all the depictions and the Bible stories and the pictures that we've seen, we've seen Jesus in very normal clothing.
Yes, very
right. Simple. And the Pharisees that are surrounding him, they have all the robes and the tassels and whatnot. And so I was just trying to think, Jesus never made his status. I mean, he did say, yes, I am the Son of God, right? And people did refer to him as the rabbi, teacher.
Teacher.
But he never had that air. That I'm going to put on these robes to show my status.
Exactly.
And so in my mind, I don't think that he had, I know that he could have had a prayer shawl because everyone always had a prayer shawl.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. But I don't think, and I don't want any Bible theologians, historians, I'm just going to say this. I don't think he had an actual cloak depicting his status in the synagogue. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't have had something like that because by the leaders, if he had that, then they would accept. They would have accepted him.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right. And this is why there was always that question about is he, is he not? Kill him. Don't kill him. You know. And so I don't think that he had that clothing that would depict it. But when it comes to that, I believe that she had heard, or she knew, she had seen, she had to have known who he was in order for her to make that effort to go out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Of course.
She had to know of his power. And so I think because of her status, because she knew that she could not get close, because she felt that shame of being out in public, she knew that, okay, if this guy can heal and has been healing throughout these last 2-3 years, then I could just, if I'm not going to be allowed to get near him, if I could just touch him, that's going to be good enough for me.
I thought that was amazing that she would think that I just need to just touch a little bit of his cloak, of his garment, just a little bit, just the hemline, not even the whole thing, not even a touch his body. It's just like, just to touch the hem and to know that she would be healed that way. That's amazing faith to think that she can just do that and that she knew that he would be able to help her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing.
You know, and on top of that, it's what transpired after that. Mm. It's like if she could just, it's like cold. It's almost like if she could just go in and just grab it, like, and I'm gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And but the fact that's why I say it was relational, because once he said, "Who touched me?" And for him to say that in a multitude of who knows, hundreds of people around him, mm-hmm. to say that. And then, of course, you know, here comes Peter going, "Duh, you're being, you know, bombarded by people." But Jesus being the deity that he is, saying, "Someone touch me."
Yes, yes.
Because he felt that. He felt the power leave.
Power leaving, right. And then the turnaround and to bring this woman forth. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And now she's like, now she's facing that, she thinks she's going to face judgment. Like, uh-oh. I really did something bad.
What did I do? Mm-hmm.
What did I do now? And people weren't aware of her because, you know, she knew, everybody knew her around town. Knew who, you know, this woman had this issue or whatever the case was. But it's what Jesus said to her in front of everybody to show that's powerful.
Yeah,
that's just powerful to show that in front of her that you have your life back now.
Mm-hmm.
You have your life back now. You can mingle. You can do what you need to do just like that.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what made it so powerful that, you know, we in our modern day can do the same thing. We can. We just have to have that faith, as you said, of a mustard seed. This woman had a faith where I, at all cost, if it meant risking my losing my life, I'm going to touch this hem of his garment.
Yes. And
look at the results. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
Powerful.
I think I had a question for you. When we come to church, when we are on our spiritual walk individually and we reach that breaking point, how can you encourage, or what can you say to those that reach their breaking point that feel like, I really can't do this anymore. I really need to just give up right now. Mm. How can we have that faith as small as that mustard seed, that little tiny, I just want to reach the hem just so that I know I will be healed. How can we have that encouragement to do that? If we're saying, well, we go through our time at church, we are serving people, we are working in our ministries, etc. And then something happens within our family or within our life or to us personally that we just feel like, wow, this is too much. I can't do this anymore. How do we have faith like that?
We could easily always refer them back to the Bible, right? With all of these stories that it has, we can refer them to this story, to the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus's story. We could easily even say, pull in that verse that says, faith is the substance of things unseen.
Yes.
Right? And you can think, well, let's think about the very first person who had to do this, Noah. Noah was called by God to build an ark unseen. Just, he just got the measurements saying there's going to be some flood sometime. When I say it, I don't know when, but build it because it's going to happen. So right. He had to build this unseen. We think of Abraham and, or back it up, we think of Sarah, who's promised a child and laughs. And I totally get why she laughs. She's old, you know. how can this body work to bring forth a child at this age with a man who's older than I, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And so they had to go into this unseen, and then said child is born, and now God is asking Abraham to go and sacrifice. Faith unseen, go and sacrifice this child. He has to go up this mountain and get into this experience with God, not knowing, or pretty much knowing that his son's not going to come back down this mountain with him, right? And then we have people like David, who has to go unseen to fight Goliath. He sees that Goliath is this giant. Will he win this battle? He's pretty sure because he knows who he's serving, but he still doesn't know the end result. Right. So we can always take these stories, and this is why I start off with the Bible first, because if people are like, well, show me in the Bible where I can find these hope, then we can point them to stories like these. But I always say the most important thing we can do is say, look back on your life.
Yes.
How do you feel this right now? I know that you are at this breaking point, but what about that breaking point you told me about last year?
Yeah.
The breaking point you told me about 2 years ago. Remember, we were at that same, a different scenario, but remember when we were there and you said, I could not make it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then what did God do for you?
Yeah.
You have all these miracles that have happened in your life that we forget about when we get into our current situation.
Yep.
We forget what God has done, and then when he does do something, obviously we pray for whatever it is, 1 month, 6 months, whatever, and then he answers in our favor, and we're all about hallelujah, praise the Lord, yes, God, you're so good. And then when the next test comes, we forget what he just did, and we're right back to square one saying, oh, we don't know what's going on. Satan, you're attacking me. Can't see this. But we forget, you know, we forget what God has done. So I tell them, what has God done for you? If that's a reminder. And then when they can't, I don't know. That's okay. Well, let me tell you what God has done for me.
Right.
This is how he has come through my breaking points.
Wow.
I wanted to add one point, Dawn. I forgot to mention that how you said that this woman with the issue of blood had three different identities. She was an unidentified woman the first time. Then she ended up being somebody. And then she ended up being daughter after she was healed. Incredible.
Wow.
I wanted to put that in there because I saw how you did that. And that's wonderful. And that was all relational, right? Mm-hmm. In that moment, that was all relational. Powerful.
Because you see how Jairus, right? They already identified him straight off. He's Jairus. He's the ruler of the synagogue, father of a dying girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it goes, then there was a woman.
Yeah.
All we know is that she's sick for 12 years. There was a woman. And then Jesus says somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then he restores her. He heals her. And then he gives her her identity, daughter. You know, I was like, you know, when I saw that, I'm like, whoa!
Hey, I got some status. Yay.
That's right.
But
do you think that we lose our identity sometimes when we reach our breaking point?
Yes.
Good question.
Yes, we do. We forget who we are. We forget where we came from. And we forget the God who has always come through.
Yeah.
We lose our identity for that while. I believe that.
I think, Dawn, sometimes we're a creature of habit. We don't reach out like we're supposed to.
Yes, yes, yes.
We all of a sudden become singular, and you're like, wait a minute.
Isolated.
Mm-hmm. Isolate ourselves. We just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. We don't reach out to our brothers and sisters and let them know I'm hurting. You know, this is where I'm at. you know.
I think that's because people naturally, when they're going through such hard things, they're not thinking about, let me go and talk to this person about this. They're just thinking, I'm in this really bad space and I don't even know how to deal with it.
That's true. That's true. That's just us being, you know, creatures of habit. You know, we're like, okay, and thinking things are fine, and we're not. We're upside down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, on to Jerry's place. Off we go. So now, let me ask you something. Does it really specifically say what her daughter was dying of?
Nope.
Okay.
It doesn't say anything.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, because it was very specific with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
No, he just said his daughter was dying. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to clarify that. Now the person comes out to the crowd to tell Jarius, hey, don't bother with the teacher now. Your daughter's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now he's got a range of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, still, Jesus is trying to calm this guy down. Like, you know, your daughter's only sleeping. And he's like, what do you mean sleeping? Mm-hmm. You don't understand that. I mean, he's hysterical, just like any father would with their daughter or son. What do you mean? You know, explain that to me. So I don't know if the apostles at the time, what they were trying to do, were they trying to more or less deal with the crowd, because they were trying to move away to Jairus' house, and how they were kind of comfort Jairus, because obviously Jesus knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he got to the point where he only gave permission to a first certain amount of people to go into Jairus' home. So mm-hmm. that was what? Peter, James, and John, and the parents. Mm-hmm.
The parents, yep.
Why so?
He did that because, as I mentioned in the sermon, when there are funerals, there's a lot of, it's like a whole circus back then.
Yeah.
You know, it was a circus where you had to pay people to mourn. It was a whole, it was how it was done. You know, this is how you mourn someone. And so, you know, another thing too, we got to remember, I did not mention this. We have to remember the circles that they were running in. So let's go back quickly to the woman in the crowd.
Okay.
She was there, and all the people that were there, right, in the crowd wanting to be healed, think about who's there. Mm-hmm. It's the people who cannot afford doctors.
The doctors.
We're thinking about the poor. We're thinking about people at their last resort who just have no other
alternative
but to visit Jesus. Right. And they hear word of mouth that this is what he does. Now, you come now to Jairus' place, and this is a whole different story. Jairus is rich. He has at his disposal physicians. You know, so you can imagine who may have been called in and who, you know, no one could help Jairus. So you imagine the social circle mourning around him. These people also had to be family who were possibly well off, or who knew that circle, who, oh, this guy can afford. So if the best can't heal if the best doctors cannot heal the ruler of the synagogue's daughter, she is just as good as dead. See, these are the people who wouldn't normally have, not interfered, but who wouldn't have mixed with the poor.
Okay.
So they wouldn't have the need to go
associated with them.
The social class, the social class.
Right. That. They wouldn't have the need. They may have heard that there was some man walking out there doing some things, right? But they wouldn't necessarily have had the need to mix with the lower class. So all they have going for them is, you know, the fact that they know that all the best physicians possibly could have come and this girl was still dying. The girl is dead.
Yeah.
We hear everyone's crying, she's dead. And who is this? Who now is this man that Jairus is bringing? Is this some new doctor? Who is this guy that's coming?
Mm.
And then telling us that she's just asleep, you know? So, and it says they ridiculed him. And this also goes to the fact of the wavering system back then, because they knew, some knew that this guy truly was somebody, but they couldn't, the leaders couldn't pin him.
You know they sent somebody out there, I'm sure. You know they sent somebody out to investigate to see what was actually going on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah, for doing
that.
He
sent other people, right. So the reason why he kept everybody, he took everyone out of the room, was, you know, his apostles were there because they have already seen. They've done their own miracles. They've already been given the power to also do things in his name. So right. You work in tandem, like, okay, we know that if God, Jesus says that this girl is just asleep, we know what he can do. So he took the rest out of the room that were the unbelievers. He had to clear the room of unbelief so that his work could be done. So he just cleared out everybody except for his closest three and the parents, because he knew that the parents were clinging to something, were clinging to hope. Yeah. And so that's why he took everybody out, to clear the whole room of unbelief.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing.
You know me, I'm always trying to find something comical. Don, you remember that we remember the issue with the water with Joshua when he was preaching?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Now it's the Pastor Jen.
What?
When the water came from nowhere, here Pastor Jen goes, "Thank you." And I another water rescue.
Another water rescue, right?
Oh.
I'm sitting there, like, I'm looking right at it, like, okay, here's another water rescue. Because Joshua.
Did he see her? Come on, camera. With the water?
No, I knew when you came.
No, just hear the thank you.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he did something. For doing
did you
that.
Hear the telephones going off?
Oh, of course.
It felt like somebody was trying to do a video chat.
I know. It was.
I was looking too, like,
I know. I can
I'm
see
thinking in my head, like, am I supposed to be quiet?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I doing?
It's like one of those Snicker commercials. You want to get away?
You want to get away, right?
I was like, wow, but your hand yourself is always a professional.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I hope so. Yeah. Thank you.
I had one last question now to be in for that. Mm. You know, since I've known you, Pastor Jen, you've done a lot that I've seen and heard. You know the relationship we have, you know, because, but what was your breaking point in your life? Was it with your son when he swallowed that thing and you were at the hospital and you were like, God, I know that had to have been a serious breaking point, but was that the breaking point for you?
When he swallowed that, when the straw?
Yeah, he was playing with.
There have been so many times I've been in the hospital with many breaking points.
Now, okay, stressor one, stressor two.
No. And that was a breaking point with him swallowing. He had those big, you know, those bubble tea straws.
Yeah.
The one that take in those big tapioca bubbles for the Asian drinks. I don't know how he got one of those, but he was running around and he slammed into much bigger brother David and it clear. He didn't even mean to, like, he just slammed into him, and the straw that was in his mouth just poked back into his throat. And when I looked, all I saw was the hole in the back of his throat, like no blood, but just a gaping hole. And I'm like,
oh.
But that was a breaking point because we had, up until that point, that was our move into Andrews. And there had been so many things leading up to answering God's call to get to the seminary. And when we were finally there, and that was the night before my first day of school, and the first day I was gonna start off in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And just to have that happen at 11:30 at night, and just, you know, you think, again, that thought, oh my goodness, what is Satan trying to do to derail me? And because then I think, well, if he's going to be in the hospital, then I'm going to have to stay.
Yeah. Right?
Armando has to be at home and I'm going to have to stay. And then I miss school, mm-hmm. you know? And so that was our prayer as we drove along in the night to this hospital we've never been to on, and Michigan is all country where we were at. It's all country road, dark roads, like black as night. And I'm just freaking out. And that was my breaking point. And I called out, spoke to Jesus, but was also speaking to the enemy. And I'm like,
yeah,
I know what you're doing. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, he did. I mean, he came home with us 2 hours later.
So, amen for that.
Yeah. Do you think that God allows breaking points to happen so that we can have a closer walk with him?
That's a tricky question. Because when you say allows breaking points to happen, then people, then the question that follows that, then God allows bad things to happen.
Yeah.
You know, right? But the thing is, in answering that, life is life. It's a cliche. It sounds cliche, but it is true. Life is life based on the decisions that we make, based on just the things that happen. We're not going to decide to go out and get hit by a car.
Right. You
know, that's a decision of the other person who's not paying attention, right, and is going at a bigger speed and hits us, right? Mm-hmm. Life happens. Because we live in a sinful world, bad things happen.
Right.
And I think that God works. He doesn't necessarily, when you say he allows it, I think he works with our issues, works with the situation. Certainly there are times that he protects us. He sees something major. I mean, I don't even want to know. I really do want to ask my personal angel when I get up there, like, what have you saved me from? You know, but.
They probably say, hey, look what I have for you.
I know. Here's your list. You can bill me. I can bill you now, you know, but I think God uses the situations that we come into, bad or good. He uses them to reach us. And mm-hmm. so if we have that period of time where, let's say someone has been sick mm-hmm. for a long time and they have been in that hospital bed or at home recuperating, their whatever it is, cancer, I think that we are, I don't want to say allowed, but we need to go into these spaces. Mm. We need to experience it. With all the trials that we have, we need to experience the grief that comes with it. We need to experience the oppression, all of that, because you realize that in those times yes. is when we get closer to God.
Yes.
Amen.
We're happy in life when nothing's happening, but at that same time, can we truly say, apart from thank you, Jesus, for, you know, making this week go great, thank you for nothing major happening, are we actively communing with him? Is that relationship still fully going? Are we visiting him often in our happy points?
Yeah.
But is it only in our, it's in our traumatic points, right, that we access the Savior more? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that way.
Shouldn't be.
No.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. Hold on. It's a wrap for me.
It's a wrap for me, too.
All right, man, because I know our pastor is busy. She's on to another meeting.
Yeah, I know.
So we have to.
I made time for you all.
She's going to have to bill us separately.
You know? That's right.
No.
That's
right. We're all good.
I was going to kill, but good. We thank you for your time. Thank you for your family, because your family is so busy and doing so many things, you know, in plantation. So we want to thank you and hope you have a blessed week.
Yeah.
And for your kids and everything. And Don, same for you. You know, I got a world great co-host, so
thank you, Joe.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Expression. Oh, man, I wish the viewers could see you all's expressions.
It's
so funny.
They got to come up here and speak, and then they can get it.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right. So, Pastor, if you don't mind, lead us out in a word of prayer.
Yes. Father God, we thank you so much for not only each day that you give us of life, Lord, but each day that is an opportunity to not only experience you anew, Lord, but take that experience and testify about it. Let everyone know how you work. And so, Father, I ask that in our breaking points, and I know that we've reached many breaking points, especially during this COVID craziness pandemic time. Father, I ask that we do not hesitate to approach you, that we, just like Jairus and that woman, Lord, that we boldly come to you, Lord, even if sometimes in fear, as that woman did. I ask that you take away all pretenses, Lord, and any fear that we might have, that we don't feel like we're bothering you, Lord, that we're not bothering the teacher, but that we are coming to a God whom we know can do anything and will give us what we ask for. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that in our breaking points, first and foremost, we always seek you. And when we seek you and when we answer, Lord, let us not be afraid to testify it, but to be able to share it so others can also come to you in their breaking points. Father, I thank you for Sister Dawn and Brother Joe, Lord, for their ministry in helping us to delve deeper into your word and reaching those who can't necessarily access the sermon but can hear us through this podcast, Lord. Bless them in their ministry. And I thank you for all that you have done for us and will continue to do in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You're welcome.
All right, Don, the same. Oh, yeah. And Don, you the same.
Yes.
Okay. So we got to find out how long it may take to get her back up here again.
I know, right?
Real soon. All right, to all our podcasters, we thank you for your continued listening to us, and we thank you that someone will receive this message in what way, shape, or form. God's holy word will continue to bless us. Thank you, ladies. Hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you
thank
too.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
God bless everybody. Bye-bye.